We have to stop this. It's awkward to look at you guys in the eyes as we're
talking about
this.
I know. We need like divide. We need like cubicle dividers.
I feel so much more confident saying these things when I can hide in my own little room and say them to the internet.
My dough is proofing, so TikTok.
Welcome to Things That Get Wrong, your general trivia podcast with a healthy dose of internet media things. I'm Ryan Bott.
I'm Rachel Miller.
I'm Stuart Hopkins.
And I'm Mark Spark. And I'm freaked out because we're all in the same room. But people might not know that if they just listen. Because I think a lot of people, when I talk to them, think we're all in the same room.
I think so, too.
We have so much
chemistry.
We have the most chemistry ever.
It's perfect.
This is 28 episodes. We're literally the first time we're at a table together doing this.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Yes.
Awesome.
And it's a round robin.
And it's Podcast Pizza Party.
It's Podcast Pizza Party. We said we made it happen.
Mark's Pizzeria. It's a real thing.
Mark and Mark's Pizzeria.
Mark and Mark's.
And hopefully maybe Instagram can have photos of delicious pizza with trivia put over them. If I were smart for this round robin, I would have done pizza trivia, but I did not.
Man.
Oh,
I just came to
my
mind.
Why did we just now think of this?
It just came to my mind.
What would a good trivia pizza be? Like, the things we got wrong pizza, what's on it?
This
what
city
is a margarita pizza?
Or that, and this city is known
margarita
for
pizza.
So Chicago-style pizza, or like, this type of pizza is from this city, and this type of pizza is known as New York-style.
So the things that are wrong is half Chicago, half Singapore pizza.
Shut up. Yeah, Singapore-style pizza.
We're never going to let that go.
With pineapple just to throw you off.
Disgusting.
That's
the thing you got wrong.
Yeah,
on this
yeah.
pizza. The pineapple
yeah,
is the thing you got wrong.
Everything all in one, especially pineapple. Have you ever been to Sarpino's, everybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it Sarpino? The fast food one?
Yeah. Sarpino's is awful pizza.
Yeah.
But they're a vegetarian.
But here's why it's great.
There's no. When you order a vegetarian pizza, it includes pineapple. A1, which is not a vegetable, but B2 is disgusting. No matter what combination it is on pizza.
You can't mix pineapple and peppers. Like, that's not a thing. That's not a real combo.
Please take it up with Mr. Sarpino.
Pineapple, you can't mix peppers and tomato sauce because the taste gets weird. And I can't.
Like red peppers?
Red peppers, green peppers, anything with a tomato sauce. It just, like, you can do it with, like, cut up tomatoes. That's okay.
Red peppers and tomato sauce goes well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can do bell peppers and tomato sauce, but.
Peppers, like red peppers.
I love red peppers, but I like tomatoes, and I like, in a salad together, great. Tomato sauce with all its seasonings and stuff, and then add the peppers. It creates this weird taste that doesn't work.
Hmm.
We have to stop this. It's awkward to look at you guys in the eyes as we're.
I know.
About
I think we like divide. We need like cubicle dividers.
Let's just look straight
down.
Everyone's
distracted the house.
By your eye, right?
I feel so much more confident saying these things when I can hide in my own little room.
Right
inside your pillow fort.
No, I'm super excited. It's true. Podcast pizza party. So.
It is.
We're here. As soon as we're done, we have to hurry up with this episode. So
yeah,
we can,
I would.
We can
my,
start the
my
pizza.
My dough is proofing. So. TikTok, right?
TikTok. All right. Well, we'll get straight to it. This is the 28th ever episode, and it's round robin. We've been doing every other episode, so all four of us have a round of questions for the other three to answer, and we'll start, as always, with Stu's round.
Thank you. All righty. So my round today is on famous voice actors.
Oh. Did you do this before?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
All right.
I got really concerned because I swear I did.
I remember this, but I remember
I
things.
Don't remember this.
Okay. So the way this is going to work is I'm going to list several movies. And
you're
going to
do the accent, and we have to
Oh,
get
God.
It.
No way. No. No. I can do D&D voices. I will not do accents.
It somehow always devolves into Australian. That's every accent.
So I'm going to list three, roughly three movies, or kind of give more of like a question-y type question. And then if you can guess the voice actor, if you can guess the voice actor, then, you get 2 points. I don't really have secondary hints for most of these. There's one or two for the more difficult questions for 1 point, but most of it will just be, 2 points or essentially all or nothing.
Cool. I love it.
Excellent. So question number one, this Star Wars voice actor was in, I'm sorry. I gotta start over. Question number one. This Star Wars actor was in both Studio Ghibli's Castle in the Sky and Nausicaa, Valley of the Wind.
Ryan. I don't, I know.
Ryan. Mark Hamill?
It was Mark Hamill.
Ah.
Also the Joker.
I don't know him from that. That was a backup. He's such an iconic voice actor. Like after Star Wars, he's done so the Joker, and he's done a bunch of stuff. He has a whole career as a voice actor. So.
Right. Yeah, his voice in Castle in the Sky as General Muska was like it's very similar to the Joker and just like that.
Yeah, that like heinous.
Yeah, that like heinous sort of like villainous voice, and it's awesome. So I think that's actually where the Joker stemmed from, was kind of his practice with General Muska. Question number two. This timeless voice actor has been in countless movies. To name a few, he's been in Castle in the Sky, The Lion King, Aladdin, and Winnie the Pooh.
Lion King and Aladdin.
Some of them are minor roles. Some of them are major roles.
I can picture him in my mind.
Mark.
James Earl Jones.
That is not.
That's my first. I have one iconic person in each of those, but I... Oh, Ryan.
Ryan.
Gilbert Gottfried.
It is not Gilbert
Gottfried. Oh, that's very good.
It's a good guess, though.
He was both the birds. Right? But was he? He was a bird in Lion King, right? One of them.
He was the bird in. He's Aladdin.
For sure.
Aladdin,
he was.
Right.
Yeah.
Iago. Yeah.
Iago. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But this person was also in Winnie the Pooh, though. You got to think. There's limited voices in there.
Is this a famous person outside of being a voice actor?
He's been in several movies, but more in minor roles. But he's very famous for his voice acting. Second hint is he is literally, there's only been two voices for Winnie the Pooh, and he's the other one, other than Sterling Holloway.
I have no idea
who the Winnie the Pooh actors are.
Jim Cummings, if you've ever heard of him.
I know the name.
If you heard the voice, he's also Ed in Ed the Hyena in Lion King. In Aladdin, he's a couple of minor voices. In Castle in the Sky, he's like a town leader, and then he's actually Winnie the Pooh.
That's awesome.
Question number three. This iconic voice was featured in Howl's Moving Castle and Monsters, Inc.
Mark.
Right. Well.
No, right. Go ahead, Mark.
Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal.
Ah, that was good. I was going to say with Mike Wazowski.
The Howl's Moving Castle voice acting cast is like.
Every time you say that, I just think Christian Bale, and that's all I know.
Christian Bale loves Hayao Miyazaki movies and just basically said the next one he makes it needs to get translated. I put me in any role, any voice, I want to be in it.
And it was perfect too for Howl. Like that's my favorite movie. So
me too.
Alrighty. Question number four. This next voice actor has been in The Emperor's New Groove, Monsters Inc., Princess and the Frog, and Paranorman.
Mark. Patrick Warburton.
It is not.
Oh, what?
I'm trying to place. I love Monsters, Inc. I can't think of anyone right now other than Billy Crystal. Oh, Ryan.
Ryan.
Is it John Goodman?
It is John Goodman.
Oh,
nice.
Oh.
2 points to Ryan.
Ooh, the only other one I could come up with.
Alrighty. This next one has been in Howl's Moving Castle. Disney's Mowgli and Pocahontas.
Mowgli.
Mowgli is the new Jungle Book.
I know which voice it is. Yeah. I know which voice it is. I have no idea who the actress is. I'm pretty sure it's an actress.
I'm just going to say Christian Bale.
It actually is Christian Bale.
Yes!
So he was in the original Pocahontas.
Yes,
which like I didn't even know about. He's Toby in Pocahontas, which is like the guy that's with John Smith for most of it. I didn't even realize that.
Wow.
Like when I was looking it up, like that was the cool fact there. Alrighty, question number six and the final question of the round. This voice actor has been in Toy Story 3. Porco Rosso, which is a Ghibli film, Pixar's Cars, and the latest version of Dumbo. This is probably the toughest question of the round, Ryan. But I do have a backup. Ryan.
Is it Keanu Reeves?
It's not Keanu Reeves.
Ooh. In Star Trek 4.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I was thinking the new one. I forgot that.
He plays Ken in Toy Story 3. Nice. If you can picture that voice.
Picturing a voice.
Generic plastic.
Yeah, right? The second hint is he's also in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Ooh. Mark.
Oh,
John Favreau.
It's not John Favreau.
I have a guess if no one else.
I have no guesses. I'm not good with names.
Ryan?
Jake Gyllenhaal?
It's not, actually.
That's Spider-Man Far From Home.
Dang it, why am I
Mysterio.
It is Michael Keaton.
That's that would have been the other one had I had my movies straight. I would have.
Alrighty, that ends the round for me.
Chris might own it.
Batman's without nipple suits.
It's not the same. Not real. It's not as good.
Bat nips.
Bat nips. Oh, cheese nips.
Delicious either way.
And that ends the round. I have Mark with 2, Ryan with 6, and Rachel holding down the fort.
And for some reason, I'm always surprised when I answer no questions, but I'm surprised by that.
Holding down the fort.
I thought you were the Disney expert.
I thought we were going to build a pillow fort today, too. I thought we were actually going to have a fort.
Bonus content, patreon.com. Patreon.
Okay, well, I guess it's me next.
Yes.
So I will just continue with the movie theme, a little bit different this time. Today I have a twist on Name That Movie. Or name that voice actor. I want you to name the movie's composer.
Oh, shit.
Oh, jeez.
Here's how it works.
I have a couple.
I'm going to name a movie they composed, starting with more obscure ones, moving towards ones they are very well known for composing. If you can get it within the first 2 movies I name, you get 2 points. If I have to name the most popular ones, you get 1 point. It's pretty simple.
Got it.
Cool.
All right.
Number 1, Home Alone.
Crap, I know this.
I know the director.
You guys need the next one?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Schindler's List.
I know the director.
I believe this one also won awards for the music.
Such sad.
You guys better queue up for this next one because you all know it. Star Wars.
Ryan.
What is it?
John Williams.
Yes, that is.
That
correct.
Was my first thought, and I couldn't shake it.
Right. So that's 1 point.
I was like, that's the only iconic name I think of off the top of my head. So I was like, if it wasn't that one, then I have to come up with something else. All right, end of the round because there's no other composers.
There's no other that we're gonna...
Okay.
Can I look at my iTunes library really quick?
Yeah, I feel like I know them and I listen to them.
Right. Like, these are all... So, I've only picked... Even the obscure movies, I only picked well-known movies.
Right.
So, like, you will have almost certainly seen all of these movies. Almost certainly. So, it's just a question of whether you can name the composer. Okay. Question number 2. So, that was 1 point for Ryan. Question number 2. First movie is The Prince of Egypt. I am getting so many confused looks right now. I'll just move on. The second movie is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Getting warmer.
Nothing? Okay. And the third movie is Gladiator, which won a lot of awards for its music.
I feel like I'm 100% not going to come to me.
I'm going to say the name, and you guys are all going to know it.
Yeah, I don't have it.
Okay, it's Hans Zimmer.
Oh, damn.
The bad guy in Die Hard.
Which didn't he also do Inception?
Yep.
Okay,
that sounds right.
That's what I was waiting for, and like I couldn't remember who it was.
I think he also did Interstellar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
This is also obvious now. Like, every one of these, I was like, right. I just don't have... composer names on.
I know the director.
Right, and like...
This was, I was making this round, and my first thought is, I know for a fact that I'm pretty sure all of you guys know the answers to this. The question is whether you're going to be able to get it when asked.
Right.
Right.
My wife would do awesome at this round.
Okay, question number 3. First one is Field of Dreams.
I don't know the director.
The second one is Apollo 13. Also, I believe, won awards for the music.
Can we get to pizza?
Why are these rounds always so...
And the third one is Titanic.
I don't know the director. James Cameron.
You're getting so far, Mark. You get, like, tenths of points for each time you know the director.
I feel like I would know the best boy more than I would know the composer.
It's James Horner.
I would not have known. Yeah, I would not have known that one.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Did he do Avatar too?
I believe so.
Okay.
Makes sense.
I don't have that one written down, but
he's James Cameron's guy.
Yeah. Right?
Okay. So this is turning out quite a bit harder than I expected. I was hoping that...
It's a common refrain with you around Robbins.
I mean, I do things and I think, you know, I feel like as I get to the more common ones, I would probably know it.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't know the obscure ones, but... Okay. Question number 4. The first one is big.
Oh, Jesus. I know the lead actor.
Yeah. Oh, the second one is Silence of the Lambs.
I know the lead actor.
Actress.
True.
That's fair.
Oh, we use the same word. Fire person.
And the third one is The Lord of the Rings.
You suck.
You know this because you've told it to me before. Again, another big award-winning music.
Oh, God, I hate this round.
Is it just because you're not doing well?
Okay. John New Zealand.
You're close. It's Howard Shore.
Howard Shore.
I feel like I've heard
that name
before.
He sounds like my lawyer.
Okay, question number 5 in this incredibly difficult round, apparently.
Did anybody get anything? Oh, Ryan
John Williams. John Williams one. These only get more obscure, right?
No.
There's got to be one for Harry Potter. There's got to be.
Question number 5.
Which I don't know the name of the composer.
I don't know the name of the composer.
Right.
Okay.
Dumbledore, Nick Potterson.
To make this easier, for the last two, I will just name the first 3 movies.
Okay.
All right.
Just name them all.
If you can get anything, you deserve points.
Big Fish. Men in Black.
Oh, that's a good movie.
That is a really good
Men
movie.
In Black, amazing movie. I was going to say delicious movie for some reason. It's Will Smith.
And The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, Sue.
Oh,
Sue.
Ah!
Go ahead.
Danny Elfman.
Damn it!
Oh!
I can't believe I got one.
I'm going to go ahead with 2 for that one.
Maybe. Thank you.
Danny Elfman. Like, that's a name I would never think of, but as soon as you say it, it's...
Right.
He's done all of what's
Nightmare
his
on
names?
Or,
movies.
Tim Burton's.
Tim Burton's.
Yeah, he does all of Tim Burton's movies.
Nightmare Before Christmas and all that stuff.
Beetlejuice, all of them.
Beetlejuice.
Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking about Michael Keaton.
He did?
The Simpsons, really?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
And the following one is my personal favorite composer. I always like knowing that. Do you have something to say?
I thought I had a chance, but still no.
So anytime I see his name that he's credited with a movie, I'm always very excited about it. So he did The Hateful Eight, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And he's most well known for the movie The Mission, which has the iconic song Gabriel's Oboe.
Wow, wow, wow. Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Oh my gosh, I should know this.
He is Italian. Trying to help.
Mark.
Go ahead.
Michael Giacchino.
No.
I think it's something Ligliawo.
No, not even close.
I don't know the first name. Is it like Alexander Spad or something like that? Okay.
It is Ennio Morricone.
Okay.
Morricone. Way off, but I do know that name.
So I think we've reached halftime.
Right? What if you invented macaroni?
I think we've reached halftime. Unfortunately, this was a much harder round again every single time than I anticipated. Ryan, where are we at?
I have myself leading the way with 7, Mark with 2, Stu with 2, Rachel just holding down the fort.
Still surprised. I think I've been doing really well.
You won the last game.
Yeah. You won 2 in a row, didn't you?
I don't remember.
We'll have to go back into the archives of episode 26.
You're our keeper of the record.
I am.
Some old-timey library that we open up and we see the dust and we're pulling out shelves.
Right. We've actually...
Blow up the book.
It's honestly just a stack of papers that looks like this, because this is how I keep score, just on scratch paper. But, you know.
We've actually had a duplicate question come up already.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, we've had one duplicate question.
Was it from me?
Was
it's from
my
episode
fault?
3 and episode, I think, 24. And yes, it was on you, Ryan.
Oh, God.
Oh, what was the question?
I have it written down in my archives. but yeah, so I'll obviously post that. Yeah, we've had one duplicate question. It's the only one that we found so far, or that I found so far.
Which one is it?
I think it's something to do with the presidents. It's
William Henry Harrison.
It was when William Henry
Harrison. I got it right both times.
Right,
I know.
Right, and
because he died in 30 days because the Simpsons talk.
Right.
The first time you don't mention that song, and the second time you do.
Okay,
that's but yes, amazing. It was William Henry Harrison was the first duplicate question answer.
We are.
I'll say if you ever look at how I keep track of questions, it is just a scattershot on simple note of like 1,000 files with a bunch of different crap on them. So
okay. I was actually planning on going back and writing out each question, and then we could categorize them to see what percentage of questions are in what category. And then also you'd have your list of duplicates to make sure that we could go through them and not...
There's a cheese situation.
What is the cheese situation?
I mean, I do have all the questions, like, each file. Like, it's just a Google Doc.
But for our questions, too.
Well, you guys keep track of your stuff.
I do a bad job. Sometimes they're handwritten, sometimes they're not.
Sometimes they're handwritten, sometimes they're just a meandering list, sometimes they're nicely written out.
Right.
You know, in like 1,000 years, they're going to find those handcrafted notes and fall, and like, they're going to be put under glass.
I love the idea of like burying shit with like wild combinations to confuse future archaeologists. Like,
Time capsules.
Yeah. Like, I love the idea of, like, there's somebody that made a post online that was like, bury me in a washing machine because I want archaeologists to be like, what the fuck is this? Like, what happened here? I don't know. So I got to think of a good way to, like, die.
Well, if you need help, let us know.
Well, it's okay. Ryan has the best plan for a funeral. We're going to toss him off a bridge with concrete blocks tied to his feet, streamers tied
New
to
York
him,
style.
And then confetti.
Beautiful.
That's New York style pizza.
It's important to me when I die that my friends and family and my loved ones don't spend actual money wasted on my funeral, but instead have a nice picnic together. So I insisted I would like cinder blocks and streamers so that when they toss me off the bridge at this picnic, I go...
I would love to be shot into space. I want the most expensive thing possible. Please shoot my ashes.
Our personalities.
I want to be in orbit around Mars. Like, you know, Starman from the... when they shot the Tesla Roadster in the Mars.
Yeah, the car
wanted,
up, yeah.
Exactly that, but my dead body.
Tesla man.
So, let it be known.
If you ever hit a planet, your bacteria on your corpse would potentially kill an entire civilization.
Or panspermia.
That's true. That's very true, as Neil deGrasse Tyson has
taught us. On Earth,
us.
As I am in the universe.
You... At that point, would you become like a god? Like, if you've like started the entire like population of a planet?
I told you about this before, Stu, but you need to watch the first episode of the new version. I say new, but it's like the 90s, the new version of The Outer Limits.
Yeah.
Because you would love it. Because the first episode is about a guy who works for like some Mars research thing, and then he's like researching like soil samples.
Yeah.
And he finds there's like little creatures that live in there. And then he brings them to his house, and they think he's a god.
Oh, man.
Spoiler alert, I think they eventually kill him. But, that's my pick. Watch Outer Limits from 20 years ago.
quite a halftime. All right, third round is Mark's.
All right, so inspired by you, Ryan, ooh. I'm going to do Family Feud style Google autocomplete. So ooh. I typed into my computer some phrases, and then I took the top 5 autocompletes from that.
These are gonna get gross. These are Mark's computer.
Right, I was gonna mention, you may need to know a little bit about me, because as we all know, not all Google answers are the same for everybody.
Oh.
So I think there is one that is actually influenced, or a couple that are influenced by my search history. So
oh no.
It's going to add a different layer.
Quite a trivia round.
It's going to add a different layer to this. So I'm just going to give 2 points to the person. I'm going to go around, and I'm going to give 2 points to the person who gets the highest one.
Okay.
Of those. So here we go. So imagine I'm typing this into Google on my computer. The phrase number one, Elon Musk. What is the word after that? So, Star Wars 2.
Elon Musk, marijuana.
Okay.
Elon Musk, net worth.
All right.
Tesla.
All right. I probably should have did it as we did it. So, Marijuana wasn't on there. Net worth number 2, Tesla number 5. So Ryan is 2.
Oh,
nice.
Damn.
I'm surprised that wasn't on there because.
Yeah, that's right.
The Joe Rogan thing.
Yeah, the Joe Rogan podcast.
So the entire top 5 are Elon Musk Twitter, for obvious reasons.
Oh.
Elon Musk net worth. Elon, because that's every celebrity is net worth.
Right.
Elon Musk age.
Yep.
Elon Musk girlfriend, and then Elon Musk Tesla.
Okay. Now I see how we're doing this.
Yeah. Next one. Phrase number 2, typing this into my computer. Things I got blank. And it's multiple, these are phrases, so it's multiple words after.
Okay.
Ryan.
Oh, goodness. Things I got.
Say it.
Say
wrong.
It. Things I got, okay, that's number 2. Things I got wrong at trivia is somehow number 2.
Yeah, buddy.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Climb right up the ranks.
Rachel.
Things I got right.
Things I got, that's in, no.
Nobody cares about that.
Okay.
Dude, things I got.
At the grocery store? I don't know.
No, but close to some of these. So, in order, it's things I got in trouble for at school, things I got wrong at trivia, things I got for my birthday, things I got for Christmas, and things I got at Chiefs, which is a
Chiefs?
Sheets.
S-H-E-E-T-Z. It's a gas station in like the east. Like it's in Pittsburgh and like northeast.
I think this is the one that was influenced by my search results because there's a lot of Tesla superchargers at Sheets. And I was there many, many times.
Sheets is actually really good. Like it's a gas station, but then it's like a more of like a gourmet, like certain gas stations like Quick Trip in the Oklahoma region
are
doing
this. Hot food.
You can get
it's like a 7-Eleven. It's like a super 7-Eleven.
Is it cheaty gas station food?
No. It's like I've gone there for dinner before and gotten like mac and cheese and burgers and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Really good. Wow.
Clearly
yeah.
Knew the Sheets lifestyle.
Yeah.
And we're getting food there. I mostly got beef jerky. All right. Question number 4.
3.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's Rachel's turn first.
Apple versus blank. Rachel.
Oracle.
Nope.
Windows.
Nope.
Microsoft.
Actually,
number 3.
Can I guess for 1 point?
No.
Okay. I just want to put it out there. Can
Samsung?
I guess for no points? Yeah, I'm going to guess Samsung.
Samsung was number 2. Microsoft, what Ryan said, is number 1.
Or Android?
Android was number 1.
Oh, okay.
Apple, Android.
So, Android, Samsung, Microsoft, Google, and an Android meme. So, a lot of fanboys looking for Apple versus Android.
Oh, okay, yeah.
All right.
2 points or 1?
2 points. Two points for the person who gets the highest gets 2 points. Okay, question number 4. Why does my dog blank?
Steve. Bark at everything. Why does my dog bark so much?
Ryan.
Why does my dog hate me?
No.
Why does my dog smell?
Ooh. No, I surprisingly know.
Do we do another round again?
I'll give you another chance. So
okay.
Let's go.
Why does my dog throw up so much?
No.
Okay.
Why does my dog jump in my bed?
No.
Why does my dog love me?
No. That's a really good one, though. I think about that a lot. Okay, here's the top 5 answers. Why does my dog eat grass? Why does my dog shake? Why does my dog eat dirt? Why does my dog stare at me? And why does my dog lick his paws?
Somebody, I know.
All right. So, next question. Question number 4. How to buy blank?
Jesus.
I think it starts with Brian. Need an answer. TikTok.
PG. How to buy solar panels?
No.
How to buy a car?
That's number 4.
Oh.
How to buy
CBD oil?
No. That goes to Rachel.
Woo! So I am on the board!
Was drugs on one?
No.
Okay.
But I'm going to go through it. Okay. How to buy, number 1, a house. Number 2, stock. Number 3, Bitcoin.
Stock.
Number 4, a car. And number 5, Metro ticket.
I should have gotten the Bitcoin one.
Metro ticket. That's funny.
All right. Last question.
Rachel, on the board.
Yes. Nice.
Woo!
Get out of that fort.
I like my fort. I'll go back in.
Number 5. What is wrong with my blank?
It's Rachel.
What is wrong with my car?
No.
Dog.
Number two, dog. Ooh. Right.
Tesla.
No. Because I would have probably counted
car. Yeah.
No, so that goes to
Sweet
Stu. The top five answers are phone. What is wrong with my phone?
Oh.
What is wrong with my dog? What is wrong with my cat? What is wrong with my internet? And what is wrong with my stomach?
So, have you ever searched for what is wrong with your phone?
I have not. No, that's not.
I feel like you're smart enough to know to not just type that.
Yeah,
type something more specific.
Better, yeah.
Right.
So let's see here. So I have Brian getting 1, 2, 3, 3. So that is 6 on top of his 7.
Nice.
Which is, if I can do math right, is 13. And then I have Stu with 1 and Rachel with 1, which is 2 points each. So that puts the scores at Ryan with 13. He's trivia master.
Woo!
Rachel with 2, Stu with 4, and myself with 2.
Nice.
That's what I have. All right. I will bring it home with the fourth round. I am most excited about the name more than anything, but this is Every Idiom Has His Day.
Oh, my gosh.
I will give you the origin of a common idiom and some description about it. You have to give me the phrase itself.
Stu's making so many confused faces.
I wonder
if you do this normally, but you're doing it at me right now. And then, like, I can't help you right now. I know what an idiom is. You don't know what an idiom is.
No, if there's any topic I'm worse at other than geography.
Geology. And entomology.
I'm good at bug identification. It's grammar. Like, I can read fine. Like, that's not the problem. I just don't know what these terms are. I never gave a shit.
I went to Zoolander's Kids Who Can Read Good.
Kids Who Can Read.
It's a school for ants.
So every idiom has his day. This would be like common phrases, like every dog has his day.
Okay.
Things like that. So that's an idiom.
Okay.
It's a fictional, nonsensical phrase that in context means something specific.
Okay, gotcha.
To the culture.
I guarantee you've heard of all these.
Thank you.
I was just telling Rachel before the show, without revealing the question, we actually have said some of these and we've talked about them. So everything is in the zeitgeist.
He said this extremely vaguely. He said, we've said the title in a previous thing, and I'm really excited about this round, and that's all he told me.
Last episode, we were talking about things and basically said some idioms, and I literally said, every idiom has its day.
Nice. I remember that.
So, just like every idiom has its day. So, I have 6 questions here. I actually have a bonus one, too, if we want to get to it for funsies. But you just have to call out and give me the phrase itself. I'll be a little lenient if the grammar is slightly off, but the phrases themselves are all very well known. Question number one. Up until the 1800s, a common street fraud included replacing valuable pigs with less valuable animals and selling them packed and hidden. Once the seller uncovers the haul, it's all over.
Repeat it one more time.
Up until the 1800s, a common street fraud included replacing valuable pigs, which were used for sale commonly, with less valuable animals, and selling them packed and hidden from the buyer. Once the seller uncovers the haul,
Mark.
It's all over. Mark.
Bringing home the bacon?
Not bringing home the bacon.
Rachel. Snake oil salesman?
Not snake oil salesman, although that's good too. Both of those are
oil self.
That was my first thought.
Both of those
oil.
Are good. Those are really good. Any other guesses?
Wolf in sheep's clothing?
Not wolf in sheep's clothing. That's good too. But commonly, people on the streets would exchange pigs as common merchant deal and would replace them with.
When pigs fly?
No. Would it replace them with cats because cats were worthless and stuffed into the bags?
Yeah, right.
Once the seller uncovers the haul, it's all over. So that would be to let the cat out of the bag.
Pigs threw me all off.
Right, pigs threw me off because I was like,
I was in the pig zone, right? In the cat zone.
Right. I was like, there's no way. Like a cat in a bag does not equal animal when you're like looking at it like a group bulk buy of something.
can't hurt cats.
So let the cat out of the bag for 0 points there. All right. Question number two. This nautical idiom describes when a sailor would go beneath the bow, which is the front part of the boat, to rest and recover, physically protecting him from the adverse conditions. This nautical idiom describes the sailor would go beneath the front of the boat to rest and recover, physically protecting him from the adverse conditions.
Mark. In the wheelhouse?
Not in the wheelhouse.
Hit the deck?
He's got tough. Not hit the deck.
I don't know.
All right. The nautical idiom from the sailor. Literally retreating beneath the bow to rest and recover. Physically protecting him from adverse conditions. We literally brought... I remember saying every idiom has its day because I had worked on this after Stu was sick and was talking about being under the weather, which is where the phrase comes from. Physically being under the weather.
I'm under the storm clouds. I don't know what ship shit you're talking about.
So a sailor, this came from nautical tradition where a sailor would literally hide under the boat to rest and recover, literally being under the weather, under the bad weather. All right, question number three. Before stuffed animals, these games were targeted to adults, not kids. Instead of getting a giant teddy bear, these were given out instead. But as we know, carnival games are far from fair, and this common refrain was said after a good effort at a rigged game.
No one's gonna get any of these.
We're not ready for these questions.
I don't know common words.
Before stuffed animals, these games were targeted at adults, not kids. Instead of getting a giant teddy bear, these were given out instead. But as we know, carnival games are far from fair, and this common refrain was said after a good effort at a rigged game. All right, well, instead of stuffed animals, some prizes would go to adults instead. And like I said, these are far from fair. So a good attempt at a rigged game. You almost got it. It'd be close.
But no cigar.
But no cigar.
What? Bad for you.
It's good to end this whole round on just a giant downer.
I don't think that's really good for you either. Better probably.
I like
than
these.
A cigar.
I just don't know. Like, I can't think of the phrases.
All right. Question number four.
You just say them like in common, like in a conversation. You don't think of these.
Right. But that's the thing. This is a history.
Yeah.
Here I am to write some complicated questions. Question number four. This origin marked one of the last of a farmer's daily tasks, as the animals were easier to handle after a long day. This expression has been around since the late 1500s and is likely to continue until, well, you know.
Rachel. Bringing home the bacon?
Oh,
Mark, Stu. Mark!
No.
I said
oh first. I was talking.
I said Mark first.
Stu talked first in the mic.
Till the cows come home.
Yes, till the cows come home.
Ahead of you in points.
This origin marked one of the farmer's last daily tasks, which would be milking the cows, as the animals are easier to handle after a long day.
Movies have told me that you milk cows in the morning.
And it would be the last thing that a farmer would do until he got to go home. So this expression has been around until at least the late 1500s, and is likely to continue, well, you know, until the cows come home. So nice job, Stu. 2 points there. Question number five. Surprisingly, this doesn't just refer to showing dismay to somebody, but instead it comes from medieval etiquette. After a feast, hosts in England would subtly signal that the meal is over and it was time for the guests to leave by serving a tough piece of meat that was lukewarm. This was a polite way to communicate, "You may leave now." Surprisingly, this isn't just showing dismay to somebody, but instead comes from medieval etiquette. After a feast, hosts in England would subtly signal that the meal was over and it was time for the guests to leave by serving a piece of meat that was not warm, it was lukewarm, as a polite way to communicate, "You may leave now." I did not expect for this round to be so hard.
None of us know the history of the idioms.
It's not just the history. There should be plenty of clues within.
Right. So, but it's tough.
Let's say not warm meat.
Oh, stew.
And tough meat.
You give him the cold shoulder.
Yes.
Oh.
What?
Yeah. Because
a person would give them a piece of the shoulder meat of beef or pig or something like that, which is a tougher piece of meat, served at a colder temperature as a polite way to let the guest know that it is time to leave now.
Interesting.
Stupid and wrong.
All right. 2 points of stew there.
Guys, you know Christopher Nolan directed a lot of movies.
What does this have to do with
because
anything?
Because I know all directors are Rachel's questions.
If only you had made better questions.
Yes.
Mark would be way ahead of things. It was so difficult.
Says the guy complaining about the difficulty of his own round.
All right. Question number six. The last question of the game. Legend has it that the kings of Siam, now Thailand, used to give these to people that they wanted to punish. They were incredibly valuable and well-respected, but they were also so expensive to take care of that kings would often hope that it would present them, the kings would hope that the present would drive the recipient into financial ruin. Now, of course, this exchange is meant to symbolize a useless
stew. White elephant gift.
Yes.
Oh.
Dude. That's a cool history behind that one.
Done. Like,
for not knowing what an idiom is, I know a lot of idioms.
Stupid and very
you're
good
quite
combat.
The idiom yeah. over here. Legend has it, the kings of Siam, now Thailand, would give these to people they wanted to punish. They were incredibly valuable and well-respected, but were also so expensive that the kings would hope that it would drive the recipient into financial ruin to take care of. Now, of course, this exchange is meant to symbolize a useless or cheap present. That would be a white elephant gift.
My favorite white elephant gift I ever got was a flask that's like the size of a poster board. It's like,
oh my God.
I'm like, this is awesome.
I remember when I learned what a white elephant gift was, my brother went to a corporate party with white elephant gifts, and he got literally 2 pounds of pixie sticks. And so
amazing.
He gave them all to me as a as like an 8-year-old. And that was it forever stuck in my head because I was like, I associate white elephant gifts with sugar.
Yeah, my parents had like a 12 to 15 year old box of chocolates.
Oh gross.
That became it. Chocolates don't go bad for the most part. They get like the white filmy stuff. It doesn't make them go bad.
Yeah.
And
they oxidize.
Like. Yeah, they oxidize. They look weird, but it oxidizes. But, you know, but they made it clear because this one conspicuously had the expiration date.
Yeah.
Actually,
that's more FDA stuff than anything else.
I have another story really quick, actually. Yeah. So, you know, I'm from a big family, right? There's 8 of us, 8 kids. And we have a tradition. There's several of these presents that kind of circle within the family. So we have white elephant gifts that you have to hide or give anonymously to people on their birthdays, Christmas, other holidays That's for various amazing. Reasons, or when somebody moves, you hide it in the boxes that you bring to their house. They include a tailless stuffed beaver with crooked teeth from IKEA, a set of the gaudiest silverware you've ever seen in your life, a handmade toaster oven cozy from the 80s that my grandmother made, which also has a picture of a toaster oven on the front of it.
In case you forgot
where your toaster oven was.
Yeah.
And a horrendously gross, dismantled Yeti ornament, which hides in your Christmas trees at Christmas.
Oh my gosh.
And so we pass these between each other, and somebody will come to visit, and then you have to like check the area to make sure that they didn't leave something behind secretly, and then you pass it on.
That's like my favorite gift idea is the one that you just like sneak on to somebody that you've done for 10 years in a row or
right,
whatever.
Right. This has been going on since before I was born.
I love that. All right. That is the end of the game. I have one more if you guys just want a funsie.
Yeah.
Or we can save it till the next time.
I like
it. All right. Question 7. The story that this phrase originates from comes from 18th century paintings, as famous people like George Washington would only have a small part of their body showing and painted due to the expense of painting in more detail. Famous people like George Washington would only have small parts of their body showing in the painting due to the expense in painting more detail.
Photoshopping.
Photoshopping came from 18th century lore.
Yeah.
No, that's not right.
Go ahead.
I thought it was a decently good...
Good answer. Don't judge me. Actually, do judge me. It's probably judgeable.
Is it below the belt?
No, although that's very good, actually. This one is one you know, although if you think about it, like George Washington and Napoleon and people would have their busts with their arms back, with their chest and their head being prominent. Because to a painter, it would cost an arm and a leg.
Oh.
Nice.
All right. Oh, no points there anyways, but that is the end of the game. I have the scores at Rachel and Mark at 2, just crawling out of the fort. Stu with a killer fourth round and with 10 points, and myself leading the way with 13 points total. Good job, everybody.
Thank you.
This was incredibly fun.
I'm going to go ahead and hand my points back in, and I'm going to crawl back into the fort, because at least when I'm in the fort, I have shelter.
Fair point.
You're under the weather?
I'm not
protected from the storm?
Yeah.
This is, fun fact, this is Mark's lowest scoring round. Ever.
Yeah. Okay, great.
I feel
fun for everybody, Mark. Well, you're terrible.
So
as the, as
so
the historian,
I can't describe how much fun I'm having not being a dominant winner of the round.
In your own house.
In my own house.
This was so much fun. We please need to figure out ways to do this more often.
Yes,
this is awesome.
All right, let's get to picks. Each episode, a couple of us give a movie, a game, an experience, or something cool like that we recommend people check out. Today, Mark has a pick.
Yes, mine is a YouTube channel, since I haven't done that in a while.
Nice.
People are going to laugh at me, but the name of the channel is Trekspertise. It's a video essay channel in the vein of like Entertain the Elk and other... I think you... Was that yours, too?
No.
What was the...
Captain Christian.
Yeah. So it's in the vein of those type of video essay about entertainment YouTube channels. I really like this one, and it was very fortuitous because I think you had talked about really liking, I don't remember if this show or the other show, Ryan, really liking About Time.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I love About
video,
Time.
Their,
it's one of my favorite videos.
Video is about time.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's about basically how sci-fi relates to everyday everything.
Sure, yeah.
This one is about time. It's called About Time: Lessons in Low Visual Effects Storytelling. So it's a sci-fi story with very low visual effects, and it dissects this film and how how like it's a sci-fi story without visual effects and how they achieve that to be like so effective in the storytelling.
The sci-fi within the movie, because About Time's interesting. I mean, essentially,
yeah,
it's
a sci-fi movie, but it's also like a love story.
Yeah,
thing.
Essentially, About Time is a love story. It's essentially like a chick flick with the guy's the main character.
Yeah.
But the premise is that time travel is possible. And they kind of just leave it at that. Like, it's just, it exists.
Well,
it's
you
here.
Would love this video,
the father
say,
and the son can time
about.
Travel.
Yeah.
Just go with it. And now let's have this lovely story.
Because it's called Trekspertise, it has a lot of influence from Star Trek. There's but they do a lot. They recently did a really good one about Black Mirror.
Ooh.
I highly recommend it. It's probably the best in this vein of video essay. It's like so well produced, so well written. I really like this.
I love it.
Trekspertise
on YouTube. Nice. I've been actually diving down some rabbit holes like that, specifically with Twin Peaks. And it was like 2 years later, watching a ton of YouTube videos. I was just talking to Rachel about this, that are like easily an hour or two long a piece. And it's like only after watching those have I understood what the last season of Twin Peaks was about.
Very reactionary things about sci-fi and like especially Marvel things on YouTube. It's like, oh, I feel this way and that makes me feel sad because Star Wars is
bullying. Here's why Marvel sucks,
whatever,
because they blew the time control or the time travel up and they didn't explain it well enough.
This is like a really good deep dive that is obviously very well thought out.
Is it trying to be science-based? Because I know like Neil deGrasse Tyson sort of tries to be like, here's how time travel would literally work.
It's much more about storytelling.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
I love that.
They do a lot of like reviews of the latest like Star Trek Discovery show, but also very well written. But there's like I said, they pepper in all these other very interesting things.
Nice.
Awesome. That's awesome. I will definitely check out, especially the About Time one. So that's Trekspertise on YouTube. Stu, you also have a pick.
I do. It's about time somebody gave that movie some love.
So good. So worth it. It's one of my favorite movies.
So I have a pick. Mine is actually a video game, which is almost all of my picks. But it is another indie game that is a great co-op game. And it's a game called Full Metal Furies. It is essentially a beat-em-up, but it's a 1-4 player beat-em-up. It's on the Switch, it's also on Steam, and it's interesting and it's different because unlike a normal beat-em-up, each of your characters are unique, you can't swap between them, and you all have special unique abilities and movesets, but it's working together that makes you succeed so well. The game is kind of a traditional Nintendo tough as nails for a lot of parts of it, which it's not so hard that it makes you want to throw the controller, but it's hard enough to make you say, let's do it again. We got it this time.
So what's the graphic style? Is it like 8-bit, 16-bit-ish?
It's 16-bit graphic style.
So is it kind of like the old like Red Dragon, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade games?
Yeah, it is, but they're a lot more zoomed out, nice. Essentially. And it's cooperative online as well, so you can kind of host like a party, so like four people with different Switches at home can play, which makes it awesome, but it's also perfect for couch co-op too. So I've played it both ways, and it's kind of short, but it's hard enough that it actually lasts a while.
It's probably worth replaying a few times.
Just totally it's worth replaying. There's a lot of secrets that are hidden in there that after you've played a little bit, you'll remember something and then go back a couple of levels to find that secret again.
So well it almost has a little bit of Metroidvania stuff in it.
A little bit, just a touch. More on unlocking all of your abilities and talents. But it's got a mastery chart, and as soon as you actually use a weapon or a skill enough, you'll have a permanent upgrade, which actually spans across all of your characters, no matter who you play. So it's worth playing through essentially every character, so you actually get some value out of that.
That's awesome.
It is a great game. It's like $15 on Switch, and it's totally worth it.
We should find a way to play sometime.
Yes, we should.
Still haven't played Towerfall, but I really want to. But one of the things that stopped me is that it's kind of hard. I don't think you can play online. I don't know if it's available because it's so tactical that it's so twitchy that it would be hard to play online. But a game like this sounds really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And yes, we should find a way to play it because it's very, very fun.
For sure. So that's Full Metal Furies?
Full Metal Furies.
Nice. And it's on Switch and... Yeah. Switch?
Switch and Steam. I don't know what else.
Switch and Steam. Cool. Nice. I love that. I want to play that one. Awesome. And if you're listening at home and you have a pick and you think listeners would enjoy, or a trivia topic idea, or anything else you want to reach in touch with us on Instagram or anything else, you can follow the email at thingsthatgotwrong@gmail.com. The website is thingsthatgotwrong.com, and the Instagram is thingsthatgotwrong. We've been doing more and more and more on Instagram and connecting with people. I've been really excited about that. It's been really cool. Rachel has been killing it over there.
Thank you, Rachel.
Yes, if you want to talk to me, please reach out to the Instagram.
Well, talk to us. Give us your own trivia topics you want us to bring into future episodes. And stay tuned. Our next episode will be around August 15th.
September 15th.
No.
October 15th.
This is coming out
you said
September.
August.
You said August. You meant October.
I meant October. This will come out around October 15th because that's what's written in front of me. It's tough enough because we do twice a month, but it's not necessarily every other week. We just try to find what is a good time.
Bi-monthly or semi-monthly? That's a trivia.
Bi-monthly.
It would be bi-monthly because it's not every 2 months. Future round of trivia. Regardless, it'll be coming out soon, so stay tuned to that. Thanks again to the team here, Stu, Mark, and Rachel. This is fun. We seriously need to do this more often. We need
this
to find a way
fun.
To do live and at the table with the cicadas buzzing around us. And until the next episode, we'll see everybody later.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
I'm out.
Yay.
Congrats on the win.